my daughter, Megan, works in First Nation Heritage and has recently decided she should also record her parents' stories before it's too late. So she's given us a series of questions to help us prepare for a legacy interview. The final question is, do you have any advice for your grandchildren? And what are your hopes for them as they grow up? Such advice is what Jesus has in mind in the reading from John we just heard. I will read again part of it. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The new commandment, which is mandatum novum in Latin, gives us the name Maundy Thursday, the night of the Last Supper, when Jesus gives us a new mandate, the commandment to love one another. The fact that these words are uttered on the night before Jesus dies gives them an importance we can't ignore. These are his last words. We understand the importance of last words. We remember the poignant last request of someone we love on their deathbed. We remember our mother's injunction as we leave the house. Remember who you are. I remember one morning leaving my husband a string of, oh, could you? And, oh, could you? And don't forget to. And just as I was closing the door, he said, any chance of a happy birthday? And my own mother's last instruction was always, mind the traffic. Simple enough in itself, but we knew the story behind it, that our brother had been knocked down by a truck on his way home from school. Last words contain a wealth of meaning. So let us look again at Jesus' last words. The commandment of love is not in fact new. There are many such exhortations all through the Bible. Jesus himself said that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we wonder, what is new about this commandment? I think what's new is that this love is directed at each other. It's a two-way love. I love you, you love me. Nowhere in this is the power dynamic of one person up here always being the one building out the love and compassion to the others always down there being the one, the needy person, always being the recipient. There's equality here, with the love being passed to and fro. Jean Vanier, founder of Lavish Communities for People with Disabilities, who died recently, understood the importance of this equality between the giver of love and compassion and the recipient. He said, if our own life is luxurious and wasteful, we can't approach poor people. If we love people, we want to identify with them and share with them. This humble love is also that shown by Jesus just before this passage when he washes the feet of his disciples. The teacher is also the servant. Jesus is specific about the kind of love they are to show each other. It is to be as I have loved you. He's not spelling it out in any didactic way. He is referencing the way he has demonstrated this love. This is Jesus' style of teaching. He demonstrates a concept by his actions, or he tells a story to illustrate it. And it is by demonstrating love that people will know they are his disciples. To quote Jean Vanier again, a Christian community should do as Jesus did, propose and not impose. Its attraction must lie in the radiance cast by the love of brothers. Jesus' whole ministry has been a loving one. Love for Lazarus, for a woman adulterer, for children, for the woman anointing his feet. This love is not conditional. The commandment of love is sandwiched between Jesus' acknowledgement that one of his disciples would betray him and his acknowledgement that Peter would deny him. It is love no matter what. Jesus had put love first, even when it meant breaking the letter of the law. It might well be illegal to heal on the Sabbath, but it was an act of loving. We can see that being theologically or morally correct is not always the answer. The bottom line is always the answer to the question, but is it loving? Paul repeats this message in 1 Corinthians 13. He talks of the importance of love being in everything we do, and that without it we are just a noisy gong, however great our works might be. Paul spells out what love is in this passage, often quoted at weddings, although it is not romantic love Paul is describing, but the community love called agape. Paul tells the Corinthians that this is the love which should exist between the members of the young church there. He says that faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And to give Jean Vanier the last word, we are not called by God to do extraordinary things, but to do ordinary things with extraordinary love. Throughout his life, Jesus modeled love in all his doings and teachings and has shown us what God's love is like. It is unconditional, paramount, humble, and intrinsic to all we do. What it all comes down to is this: just love each other.